सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। So today we will see the summary of chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 8 is entitled as Akshara Brahma Yoga, Yoga of Imperishable Brahman. Now, this chapter, very small chapter, has only about 28 verses. Some of your microphone on, can you please put it in mute? Thanks. So, this chapter is only about 28 verses, and thought flow is in top by Swamiji. Like I said, from chapter 7 to 12, whole discussion around the nature of Brahman. And the Bhakti Yoga or Upasana. This is what is discussed in this middle chapter mainly, middle portion mainly. So chapter 8, he again here talks few things apart from what we have learned so far. Like for example, he introduces the path of sun, path of moon, Krama Mukti and all that. I still get some feedback. I think somebody's microphone is on. Yeah, it's better now. So, the whole idea, Vedanta, your, especially Vedanta, your essential self or Atma, nature, is divinity. And it is covered by asanas, which have been gathered in many jhanas. So the impressions, when they are removed, the divinity reveals itself. See, the whole idea is to remove the reveal the divinity. So to attain that purpose, one needs to use the body, mind, intellect, and also resources that is gained through equipment. So, whether it is the material wealth that we gain through the body, whether the sense perceptions that we acquire through the organs of perception, or whether it is relationships that we build using emotions, knowledge that we acquire through the intellect, everything has to be dedicated for that purpose. And what is the purpose? Removing the impression and not creating fresh impressions. The existing impression has to be removed and not take fresh impression. So this is the purpose. This is what you are supposed to do using body, mind and intellect. You've got to integrate all the three and achieve that. And of these three, the intellect is the subtlest equipment of the body, mind and intellect. So you develop the intellect and direct the mind and the body, bring them in line with the purpose, the goal, and achieve this. This is the whole concept. So in this chapter, he is going to introduce this concept called as you think, so shall you become. So, thinking about the world, if we create the thought of Brahman, the divinity, then all impressions dissolve and we develop one strong what's the higher. And then bring yourself all the thoughts. Finally, in meditative state, when you observe thought, think of being, that thought also dissolves. And then finally, what remains is divinity. This is the whole idea. So, as you think, so shall you become. By unintelligently, unconsciously, consciously thinking about the world, we have gathered the impressions of the world. Now, this world is so solid seeming and real for us. Now, we have to, with the help of the Guru and the Shastra, slowly and seriously shift the attention from Brahman, from world to Brahman. So therefore, the first topic from verse 1 to 7, he talks about Brahman and world you gain to pursue. Now, what you pursue is not at the external level. Number two. Like before, one may be in the mandir, but the mind is of the world. So you are actually pursuing the mandir, sorry, the world. So here is in what is our tattva. What you have in your mouth, according to that you get the environment, according to that you get everything. In fact, Vedanta is saying your thoughts determine your destiny. Therefore, whatever thoughts you have out of them, what do you identify with? And act accordingly will shape your destiny. So thy destiny in thy hands. Thy hands doesn't mean in your palms. In the hold of a who knows the palmistry and then sit in front of and then show your palms, because thy destiny is in thy hands. The lines in your palms also change when your thoughts change. Tomorrow morning you look at the palms and you get fed up because the same lines are seen. And the whole thing changes. Inside out approach. From vasana, thought. From thought, desire. From desire, action. And from action, again vasana. This is the chronology of action that we have studied. So therefore, you got to go and work and change the vasanas, the reduction of quantity and change of quality and direction of the higher. Slowly, slowly evolve spiritually and fulfill yourself materially as well. So Brahman and the world, you gain what you pursue. This is topic number one in this chapter from verse 1 to 7. Now, the last chapter end, when Sri Krishna talked about wise people vis-a-vis the ignorant people, he said wise people choose the Brahman, they work towards it and attain Brahman. And when they attain Brahman, they attain the total Brahman. So he used few words and he said they attain Brahman. Brahma Adi Bhuta Adi Deva Adi Yajna. They understand all this. This is what he said when they attain Brahman. So now this chapter begins with Arjuna questioning all of them. Please explain. Explain what is Brahman, what is Adhyatma, what is Karma, what is Adi Bhuta, what is Adi Deva, what is Adi Yajna. Six questions based on what Sri Krishna concluded in the previous chapter. And he puts another seventh question. That seventh question is the central theme of this chapter. The seventh question is, how are you known at the time of death by the self-controlled? Please explain to me that. How are you known at the time of death by people who are self-controlled? This I would like to know. So this is what he is asking. Seven questions. The first six questions are answered in the third and fourth shlokas. The first two shlokas are Arjuna questioning these seven aspects. Then third and fourth verses, Sri Krishna answers the first six questions. What is Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adibhuta? What is Adideva? What is Adiyajna? And then from verse 5 till this chapter end, the central theme is the answer to the seventh question, which is, how are you known at the time of death by the self-controlled people? Arjuna must have definitely heard from others growing up that self-controlled people thinking of Brahman realize the self even at the time of death. So from that this question is springing. Because all along Sri Krishna has been saying, as you think, so you shall become. So the technique here is, use the body, use the mind, use the intellect, everything to be constantly reminded of Brahman. That's why, where can you run away? You can't run away from the world. You have to be in the world and do sadhana. Even if you go to Himalayas, as you are climbing the Himalayas, every hairpin bend you are covering, you will see one small hooding here and there, wills made for each other. You know. So you run away from the world to get away from cigarette, but there will be advertisements. So you cannot run away, you have to be in the world. Being in the world, you got to do the sadhana. So therefore, use everything to be constantly reminded of Brahman. That's the whole Hindu religion, culture, in fact all religion, the same thing. So therefore, if you see birth, there is a prayer. First year of the child, prayer. Then the child is introduced to the education, school, prayer. Then Upanayana at the age of 7 or 8, thread ceremony, prayer. Then graduation, prayer. Marriage, prayer, childbirth, prayer, everything till death also. Whole thing, constant reminder of the divinity. That's the technique. You don't have to change anything, but you got to be reminded of the Brahman. As you think, so shall you become. So what is Brahman? He says, Akshara Brahman. Akshara Paramam, that Brahman is that supreme imperishable reality. So when everything is which is perishable, you keep on analyzing and going to the root, you come to the imperishable. Like we have discussed before, tree is, then you cut the tree, log is, you make the table out of the log, table is, table, reduce it to ash, ashes. So that isness, the imperishable aspect, is Brahman, which is not the form and name. The form and name are perishable aspects. The imperishable aspect, which is beyond the form and name, that is Brahman. That is all pervading, that is everywhere, that is supreme Brahman. And that same Brahman reflects in every being as the Atma within. So when the Supreme is talked with the individual, use the word Atma, Adhyatma, meaning it is within every being. So in the book, this is the example of sun above and the rays of the sun. The sun, if you take it as Brahman, then the rays of sun would be taken as Atma. So Brahman is that imperishable aspect which is there as the core of every being, and that is called Adi Atma. So your being is what? Brahman. But when I ask you, who are you? You say, I'm a businesswoman. Acha, engineer, doctor, chartered accountant. What is this engineer, doctor, chartered accountant, businesswoman? All these are your doing. Soda bottle opener wala. You understand? All these surnames. Goldsmith. What is this goldsmith? All this is what you do. So what has happened is, due to the ignorance of our true nature, which is Adhyatma, from being we become doing. And that doing is the reason for our birth. That assumption that we are the doer is the reason for our birth, rebirth, everything. So therefore, Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha Visargaha Karmaha. So what is karma? It is karma is that which causes you to take birth. So the paap and punya that comes about because you assume the doership. You are actually the being, the Atma. But due to the ignorance, you assume the doership. And due to that, there is paap and punya. And the paap and punya creates your birth, which comes from doership. The paap and punya, you enjoy the result is paap and punya. And according to the paap and punya, you are given the birth. So, if you have high level of punya, you are born as devas. If you have too much of paap, you are born as animals, lower beings. If you are mishra, the mixture of paap and punya, not too much punya, not too little punya, not too much paap, not too little paap, mixture, then you take the birth of human being, says the Shastra. Now, therefore, the karma is that which brings about the individual. Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha Visargaha Adibhuta Kshara Bhavaha. So he says the Adibhuta is the Kshara aspect, the perishable aspect, the name and form, the elements. All that is coming under the name and form is Adibhuta. Adibhutam Bhavaha. Then he says, Purushaschadi Daivatam. The Purusha is the Adidaivatam. Adidaivatam is the Purusha, the indweller. Puri. Puri means city. The city of the man and the city of the woman are different. But the being sitting inside is the same. The Purusha is that being with reference to the city. Remember, when the Atma is referred with reference to the city, where it reflects as the Jiva, the indweller, is called Adidaivatam. The pure consciousness reflects. Devatas are the reflectors. So the pure consciousness, when it reflects through the subtle body, the indweller is called Adidaivatam. So from the total point of view, it is called Hiranyagarbha. Okay? From the individual, the indweller. From the total, Hiranyagarbha. Now, so far we have covered what? Brahman, Adiatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adideva. Then comes Adiyajna. So when he talks about Adiyajna, he says, I alone, the Adiyajna here in the body of the embodied. Ahameva Atra Dehe Adiyajnam. In this body, here in this body, I am the Adiyajnaha. So Adiyajna has two interpretations. One is Ishwara Tattvam, other is pure consciousness. Swamiji talks about it as pure consciousness. The pure consciousness, which is the witness to all the yajnas, activities that is going around in the body, that is Adiyajna. Also, some people interpret it as Ishwara Tattvam, who is the what? Paladata. As per your action, the result is given by the Ishwara sitting within as the witness. So, the point here is, you do the actions and your actions only give you result. But Ishwara is that concept which holds all the laws functioning, and according to your actions, the results are given. So basically what all this means, like I told you before in the previous class, you are called as mother with reference to your children. You are called as daughter with reference to your parents. You are called as sister with reference to your siblings. You are called as boss with reference to your subordinates, etc., etc. There are so many roles, but it's the same person. So it's the same Brahman called Adhyatma. And when it is not understood, it is becoming the doer, karma, and then Adibhuta comes. Once you become the doer, the world comes. Adibhuta, then the reflected consciousness and the pure consciousness. It is all the same Brahman. So once you realize the Brahman, you understand how, when the dreamer wakes up and becomes the waker, he understands that everything in the dream was nothing but that waker's mind. One waker's mind has become all this. This total thing is that Brahman. So now, out of ignorance, we are continuing in this world creating karma. Now, when we gain the knowledge, exhaust the vasanas, we realize this. When we realize this, then there is no problem. Therefore, he says, a person who identifies with Brahman reaches this Brahman. Others continue going around up and down in this world. There will be punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatareshayana. It continues. So, from fifth verse, he shifts the gear. He says, he who casting off the body goes forth thinking of me alone at the time of death, he attains my being. There is no doubt about this. Now, if you are following Swamiji's book, Swamiji interprets this Antakala as the final merger of ego with the Atma. He calls that as the Antakala. But generally, people talk about Antakala as what Antakala? I see you. Where I see you, you don't see me, says Swamiji. So that Antakala, where the physical death happens. So therefore, Antakala Smaranam. Antakala Smaranam means, at the time of death, when you think of Brahman, you attain Brahman. Antakala Samaya, if you have to think of Brahman, all your life if you thought about the world, and suddenly before dying, you can't think of Brahman. Not possible. You have to therefore, but throughout your life, think of Brahman. When throughout your life, think of Brahman, how? Not just sitting and doing. It's not possible. It's impractical. That kind of philosophy is impractical. Therefore what? While doing the action, you got to think of Brahman. While emotional transaction is going on, you have to think of Brahman. While intellectual transaction going on, you got to think of Brahman. So, at all times, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyacha मयि अर्पित मनोबुद्धि मामेव एष्यति संशयः. Without doubt, you shall come to me in the verse number 7 he says. So what he is trying to say is, if you only think of world all your life, and suddenly last minute you can't think of Narayana. Even if you are saying Narayana, Narayana, you are actually telling your children, I have given some cash to a fellow called Narayana. Therefore, it won't be in our accounts book. That fellow's name only is Narayan, but he is actually Hiranyakashipu. He will not disclose to you what he owes to us. So therefore, you better catch hold of it, back the cash. That's what he wants to say. Therefore, he's saying Narayan. He's not thinking of Narayan. Because all along, if you've been thinking of money, you at the last time also you can only get the thought of money. So therefore, if you lead a spiritual life, at the time of death, the thought will be of Brahman. Antakala Ishvara Smaranam. Now, for example, every day, it's a very mini Antakalam all of us go through. Before you go to bed, in our tradition, even in any religion, there is a prayer. They do prayer. Only thing, you say Om, they say Aman. That's all. The same thing. Ram Sita beautifully says how they are said. A very interesting lecture. So, now, this Om, when you say before going to bed, that thought before going to bed is of Brahman, Atman. The subconscious mind dwells on it. When you wake up, that thought comes. You start off the day with prayer. So, before doing any action, you start off with prayer. So, you continue keep retaining that idea. So, we say prayer is not a part-time, past-time hobby. It is a full-time hobby. The eagle, beautiful example. At times when he's a, you know, mathematics professor, so he gives that example. He says at times when you're trying to solve a mathematical problem and you're struggling and your parents are saying, come and have dinner. Come and have dinner. And you're saying, wait, wait, I'm coming. You're trying to solve it. But you struggled, you couldn't solve it. You had your dinner and you forgot about it and went off to sleep. Now, subconsciously, morning when you wake up, with a solution. In fact, he said that is how Madame Curie, that theory of radiotherapy for cancer treatment that she brought out, there is a story behind it. Apparently, she used to keep a paper and pen next to her bed. And she is 24/7 about the struggling to come out with some. So, in the night, there is a paper. Next day, and she had fallen off to sleep. Next day morning, she saw certain things. Obviously, she has only scribbled. The night conscious mind wrote down the solution. So next morning when she woke up, she saw it. So the day we live before going to bed. The subconscious mind will not allow you anything incomplete. So next day morning when you get up, you will complete it. The thing will go on bothering you like a thorn that is embedded in your flesh. So it will go on bothering you till you remove it. Similarly, anything that you start and leave it incomplete, the next day morning, you will certainly start it and complete it. This is what the tip that he gives to deal with procrastination. So all these I am trying to tell you, this concept of Antakala Ishvara Smaranam. This is the central theme of this chapter. That is why I am spending more time on this whole thing. So, another interesting thing that if you notice, when a person is about to die, what is happening is the yogic people who follow yogic methods, they tell us this. For them, the energy conservation is very important. So a person doesn't know how to live, he doesn't know how to breathe, he doesn't balance his breathing. So he spends his energy by breathing heavily. So when you are into too much of activity, you are draining your energy, the breathing is flowing outward. When you focus on your breathing in meditation, the breathing becomes balanced and the breathing starts flowing inward. So what they are doing is, the breathing which is involuntary, they are, there are yogis. In fact, that is one theory they talk about when they talk about sage Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a great sage. Now, Jesus Christ, when he announced, after 3 days, I'll come back alive, this is what he said. So, one explanation for that is, a great yogi, he hold his breath to an extent where, when a medical doctor will come, he will be dead. There are yogis who have demonstrated this. But one doctor in one book, he says, after that kind of experience I had with a yogi whom I declared dead, himself back, I am so scared of anybody dead. Because the persons have made the involuntary breathing into a voluntary thing. So they can voluntarily take things in and they can sustain their life. In other words, to sustain yourself, you need so much energy. For them, they just need a little bit. So all these are siddhis. So now, if you carefully analyze, they start focusing on the breathing. Breathing. Now, the technique in the 12 yajnas, prana is offered into prana. Prana, pranagati, rudva, all these things he talked about. Pranayama. So when you do pranayama techniques correctly, what will happen is your breathing starts going inward. What is chidakasa? The Shiva is sitting. And when vibration happens in Shiva, the Jiva comes in Tamil. Shiva. Shiva Vasi Yoga. Vasi means the prana. It's called Vasi Yoga. So the prana is the Shiva. From that, Vasi Prana comes. And as the prana starts flowing outward, the mind, the world, everything comes. And the Shiva, who is what? Shiva Jiva. So that person, Jiva, spends his prana and dies. He doesn't know the art of living. He doesn't know the art of dying. What is this art of dying business? When a person dies, if you carefully observe the way he or she breathes, how are they breathing? So what is happening? The breathing is upward. Am I correct? Kantal Samaya, it is automatically happening somehow to make the person sigh. Inward, some last minute also, the person is trying to go towards and find to the Shiva, because that's the purpose. That is exactly where from it is come. They talked about and about, and I came out of the same door I went in, says Omakayam. So, the same door through which you came out into this world, the prana, the same door through which you have to get back, says the yogis. So therefore, what happens? The prana has to now go inward direction and merge with Shiva. Once you reach that kind of state, samadhi, thereafter they say, feels like forever. So such a person is believer, mated, etc., etc. So the whole thing what you need to understand is logical also, you see the prana going inward. Are you with me? So the whole thing is running inward. You got to make the thoughts go inward. When the thoughts go inward, you will make sure the prana also goes inward. So when the pranas go inward, finally you merge with Shiva. If not, you exhaust your pranas exhaust. Then you have created impression. According to the impressions, you are born again. Again, this tamasha continues till your prana goes and unites with Shiva. This is called art of dying. But breath is going inward. The whole thing is journey. So externally, even while you are shaping yourself to move inward, is the whole concept. Are you getting it? So the one who is self-controlled. Self-controlled means what? Sense-controlled and thought-controlled and all this shama, dhamma, all the thing that we studied. Such a person takes the thought inward, the prana inward, and the fact that he's been practicing 24/7 at the time of death also, what will be the thought? The thought will be of Brahman, and he unites with Brahman. So it is not something that you can suddenly last minute start and then do that. It's not possible. So it is something that we need to start today. So there are slokas in Tamil. They say, when I am dying, I don't know whether I will have energy to say Narayana. So for that, now onwards I will start saying Narayana. You understand? That's the whole idea. When our whole thing is going on fine itself, we are not saying Narayana. Where are we going to have energy to say Narayana in the end? So therefore, this is called Antakala Ishvara Smaranam. And he says, whatever you think you go there, remember that. There are stories of Jatabharata thinking of deer and being born as a deer. Many stories are there. So as you think, so shall you become. Now also you have become what you are thinking. Only problem is, you are not thinking only one thing. It's a khichdi. Our case is khichdi. In khichdi you put everything. No? So like that. There are all sorts of thoughts. Therefore, resultant of that. Now directly you have no desire to be born in a Scotland, in a country like Scotland. But, and this is just an example, don't take it literally. A person goes on being inactive, not doing anything, lazy, sitting in one place, for everything is calling chotu, and sitting, remaining inactive. And he likes to sit in a cold place. So if you go into his room, it is minus 70 degrees. That much crazy temperature he sits. And in this Janma itself, may be transferred to Scotland. Or in the next Janma, the possibility is that that person can be born as a buffalo in Scotland. Because to being lazy, lethargic in Scotland. So the whole concept, when they explain this, what they are trying to say is, they bring in this law of parallelogram of forces and explain to us. There is an object kept at point O and there is 50 Newton force given in Y direction, 50 Newton force given in X direction. The forces are equal and therefore the object which is kept at point O moves in Z direction. Z direction. There is no direct force in the Z direction. But why is it moving in the direction? It's called resultant force. Isn't it? Even though there is no thought flow to go to Scotland and be a buffalo, you can be born. Why? The sum total of all our thoughts. Therefore, each and every thought goes in making our destiny. Therefore, we consciously choose the thoughts and give impetus to those thoughts if we want to create our destiny. Our fortune and misfortune is created by us. there is nobody sitting up the clouds writing on our forehead. Nothing of the sort. So therefore he says, of whatever being you think of, you become that. If you send your thoughts in this world, you are accumulating a force in that direction, and your force will change your direction. That's why it happens to a lot of people. Right? Suddenly Anu is sitting in Vietnam. Initially she was sitting with us in Delhi. Now, how the whole thing is happening? There are lots of thoughts going on. We don't understand the depth of karma. It is all created by our thoughts. We don't understand it. So therefore, he says, as you think, so shall you become. So now what you have to do? You have to maintain the thought flow 24/7, 365 days. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yutya. Yutya means fight, challenge. Face the challenges of life. Live in your life thinking of me 24/7. Thinking of me 24/7 doesn't mean you close your eyes and think of Brahman and not think of anything else. What it means is, dedicate your actions for Brahman. Set the goal and dedicate your action for Brahman. Similarly, prayer. Everything is that. That is called thinking of Brahman. So, thus, when you slowly, slowly shift your attention, you become Brahman. So then, he says, he continues from verse 8 to 14, the next topic, which is what? Through ever steadfast yoga and meditation, you reach Brahman. This I, in a way, explained and touched upon. So to bring yourself to that single thought of Brahman, you need to do a lot of preparation. Sense controlled, mind control, all sorts of control. So if you see, when he talks about meditation in this portion, he talks about controlling all the gates. Eyes have to be controlled. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch, everything has to be association of Brahman. Right? See, there is a thought association. There is a bell, there is agarbatti, there is camphor, there is all sorts of things in the meditation room. What is all this? Thought association. So everything has to be in line with Brahman. So he talks about self-control, yoga. So he says, through ever steadfast yoga, starting from discipline, to come to Patanjali Yoga Sutra, what does he say? Yama, niyama. Then asana, pranayama. Pratyahara comes after that. Then only the mind starts flowing inward, withdraws from the world. So you got to do a lot of yoga and meditation. And when you talk about meditation, there is nidityasana meditation, there is upasana meditation. What is upasana? Upasana, upasana, sitting near Brahman. Now Brahman is not a form, it is formless, ultimately nirguna. But not everyone can conceive of Brahman in Nirguna. Right? So therefore in the beginning, Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam. So you conceive of Brahman in a form, in fire or in a form, whatever. So to that Brahman, you do meditation upon that form. Nirguna Ishvara Brahman. So, you have to do a lot of karma. You have to do upasana. And then finally come to meditation on Nirguna Tattvam, which is Om. So, but not everyone comes to that. So, here in this rest of the portion, all he wants to say is, through lot of preparation at the body level, mind level, yogic techniques, you have to come to meditation. And when you come to meditation, you realize the self. Right? Now that realization can happen within, in this Janma itself, or you can go through stages. The entire Gita wants to talk about realization in this Janma only. He doesn't want you to postpone. Why postpone? If possible, why not go directly? Why you have to go indirectly? So, yet he talks about that indirect method also. Though he wants to tell us only going to Moksha, Brahman, directly. So through ever steadfast yoga and meditation, you reach Brahman. That is discussed from verse number 8 to 14. There he says you have to make the mind unswerving, steadfast through lot of yogic practices. It's only through that practice can your mind become single pointed. If you remember, we studied this in chapter 6 when Arjuna asked, how can this mind which is restless be controlled? You remember? And then Sri Krishna said, Abhyadhena Vairagyena. So you got to recollect all that. So doing all that, you can focus on the Nirguna Brahman or you can focus on the Saguna Brahman. Only thing is, if you focus on Saguna Brahman, don't come to Nirguna Brahman and die, then you will get another loka called Brahma Loka. And in Brahma Loka, you have to gain the knowledge from Brahmaji and attain Brahman. It's called Krama Mukti. The other is, you use karma and upasana here in this world, purify yourself and bring yourself to a single pointed focus and gain knowledge and realize the self here itself. So Sri Krishna wants to tell you to reach Brahman here and now, not to postpone it through Brahma Loka. These temptations in this world itself you get involved. Imagine the temptations in the Swarg and Brahma Loka. If your ice cream tastes 10, let's say the taste of the ice cream is 10. There it is 10 to the power of trillion. There, Swarga. In Brahmaloka, it is much, much, much more than that. So in the Isavasya Upanishad, he cautions those who are involved in the world, what happened to them? They are in darkness, he says. The fellows who are lost in the spiritual practices, they are in blinding darkness. Those who are lost in the world are in darkness. Those who are lost in spiritual practice are in blinding darkness. So you have to be very, very careful. That is why the gurus tell us not to get involved in any of these siddhis and all that. You know, if I suddenly start pulling a pigeon out of the hat, the following will be too much. I don't do anything like that. So 5 fellows, 10 fellows attend the class. Now suddenly if I pull pigeon out of my hat or something out of my sleeve, 10 million people will be there. So it is even more difficult. Ma guru dana jana yagvana garvam harati nimeshat kalasarva, says Bhajagopindu. Got to be careful with what? Dhanam, wealth. Jana, following. Yavanam, youth. Extremely dangerous, all these things. So therefore, karma, the rituals, when you follow, it is followed for chitta shuddhi purpose. Remember this. But yes, those rituals will also give you certain punya which will take you to swarga. But don't get involved in them. Follow karma only for the purpose of chitta shuddhi. And follow upasana only for the purpose of what? Chitta ekagrata, single pointedness. You bring your focus single pointedly on the rupa, then from that eka rupa, you come to aneka rupa vishwarupa, and then from aneka rupa vishwarupa, you come to arupa, which is without form. But unfortunately, we get stuck in ekarupa dhyanam, which is called what? Saguna Ishvara dhyanam. Then such a involvement in upasana will give you different frequency of worlds. The highest is Brahmalok. Now Brahmalok tak jaake bhi vapas aa sakte. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti sorjuna. Swargalok will bring you back. Then go to Brahmalok and come back, or in Brahmalok you can learn from Brahmaji and realize. But all this is in stage. Why you want to delay? You know, if it's possible to get there now, right now, I should get back. That is how a Sishya will think. So therefore he says, ideally what you need to do is remember Brahman. So what you do? Use your body, use your mind. It's called value adding. You know, you keep on adding value. Like in most of you are in business, so you know what that example, and explain that example, you'll know. You are the villager, agriculturist is only producing the tomato. And he sells it to you at a particular cost. And what are you doing? You have the food processing unit. And at the food processing unit, you are adding certain things to it. And then what? You're making pickle, you're making jam, you're making all sorts of things. It is value added product, no? And then you put it in a container. And once you put it in a container, now the cost of it is gone, I don't know how many times more. It's gone 10 times more, maybe 50, 100 times more. So then, if you add value to it even more by making it an exclusive export business, then the value is added even further. Similarly, you've got to add a dimension to your actions, make karma into karma yoga. Karma yoga will give you some balam. To that, if you add upasana yoga, now karma yoga is done at the body level. Now, upasana yoga is done at the mind level. So, you do at the mind level. So, you are adding mind. You are sitting and sending thoughts towards the form. So, that adds more power. Huh? Yes or no? So, see, when there is sunlight, and you focus the sunlight on a piece of paper through a lens, what happens? The sunlight, when it is focused on a piece of paper, it burns the paper. It gathers momentum and power. Similarly, all your energies are conserved and directed for a higher ideal. Physical energy is karma. Then, that itself gives you power compared to a fellow who is dissipating it in the world. Another person adds mental dimension to it. Sits and does Sahuna Ishwara Dhyanam. So he gets more balam. So with the all powers added, you get different lokas of experience. Different perspective in life, isn't it? See, Arjuna has given a different perspective, inner perspective, in the 11th chapter, Vishwarupa Darshana. So when that particular channel is opened up, you get a different perspective. So, what happens is, as you add all this to your life, different perspective adds. But remember, don't get stuck there. Come to Jnanam. And through Jnanam, you have to go to the highest. So therefore, karma and upasana has to be done samuchaya as what? Preparatory step for chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, to be able to come to Jnanam. And through jnanam done as yoga, you realize the self. In this Janma, you become a Jivan Mukta. If not, you go through stages. So, 15 to 22, he talks about the Brahman beyond manifest and unmanifest. See, unmanifest. What is this? Now, you Mamta, Madhu, Anu, all these are who? Manifested beings. The whole world is manifested beings. Manifested world. Now, when you go to sleep, Mamta goes to unmanifestation. Madhu goes to unmanifestation. Anu goes to unmanifestation. The whole world goes to unmanifestation. So the microcosm goes to unmanifestation, the macrocosm goes to the unmanifestation. Then again what happens? The manifested being comes back next day morning. Same Mamta comes back, same Madhu comes back, the same business vasanas comes back. If you go back, if you are a mathematician, you come back as mathematician. If you are a cricketer, you come back as cricketer. So from unmanifest to manifest to unmanifest, to manifest. Is it clear? So, this is going on, but beyond this, there is another unmanifested higher being. What is that? That is the pure consciousness. So from the pure consciousness, the unmanifest Maya or the Vasanas, from that this manifest world and you the individual come about. Right? So now what we have to do? We have to trace back. From manifest, we have to go to unmanifest and go to the unmanifest, which is beyond the unmanifest, which is Brahman, the Purush, the pure consciousness. Correct? So, in this, in between, there are different lokas. These are different dimensions. See, mind is nothing but a dimension. So, different dimensions are there. So, he talked about Brahma loka. The calculations are all given in the book. One day of Brahman, one night of Brahman, you know, all these are various calculations. All, like for example, Devaloka, they say, one day of Devaloka is 1 year in our world. So if 1 year of our world is only one day in Devaloka, which means what? 24 hours in Devaloka is 1 day here. Sorry, 1 year here. So each month, 12 months, no? Here. Each month is 2 hours of Devaloka. And the early morning time of Devaloka is the Margashirsha month. Margashirsha month is what? Between December 15 or 16 to January 15, approximately. So in the 10th chapter, he says, Masanam Margashirsha. Of the month, I am Margashirsha. It doesn't mean all other months are something else. Every month is Brahman only. But that time, Devas are awake, supposedly. Early morning and doing tapas. So if you do tapas, it helps you even more. That's what it means. Right? So therefore, these are different dimensions at the mind level, the Brahma Loka and all that, and the calculations are given. So don't go by the calculation. All you need to understand is, that is also passing and fleeting. So I am not interested. Somebody comes and promises you something else, and you go, you get diverted and go to that. If you are really firm in your goal, you will not get diverted. Like, you will be like the Nachiketa, that young boy. Lord Yama tried to, you know, offer him all sorts of things, wealth, enjoyment, everything. He said, you keep it, man. You may probably need them. I don't need them. You don't want to teach me, don't teach me, but don't waste my time. Tell me if you will teach me or not, Brahma Vidya. Therefore, he gives all these things. So there is manifested world coming from unmanifestation, then again goes back to unmanifestation. So this cycle continues. If you want to get out of this cycle, what do you have to do? How did you fall into this cycle? You had fallen into this cycle unconsciously. Now you have to get out of this cycle consciously. That's all. Consciously trace back. Unconsciously you walk and you come here now. Suddenly you wake up and say, I am in Delhi. Acha, now what do you do? Consciously trace back the steps. Then you will go beyond. Therefore, if you start functioning in this world, doing everything consciously, you will exhaust the vasana. And when you start doing everything consciously, you cannot indulge in any of them. If you consciously eat, you cannot overeat. Impossible. Therefore, he says, you got to start functioning like that. Then, he says that Brahman is beyond this unmanifestation also. So, one unmanifestation is Brahman, the highest. The next manifestation is Maya or the Vasanas. And then the manifestation is this world, the individual microcosm. You can also look at it like this, consciousness, energy and matter. Consciousness, energy and matter. Whichever way you want to understand, you understand these three things. Brahman beyond manifestation and unmanifestation. And you got to therefore function in this world to reach that Brahman. And in this, basically he wants to say three things. But he talks about two things. One, he leaves it unsaid, almost, and said, but he touches upon it in the end. So this topic from verse 23 till the end, the fourth topic, 15 to 22 is the third topic, which is Brahman beyond, manifest and unmanifest, 15 to 22. 23 till the end is the path of return and path of non-return. Path of moon and path of sun. What is this path of moon, path of sun business? What it means is going up to Swargalok and returning. Path of moon. Path of returning. Going up to Brahmalok, gaining knowledge and not returning, called path of non-return. But Krishna wants you to shun both. He doesn't want you to choose path of non-return also. He wants to choose what? He wants you to choose no path, no going business. This should be your last janma. So if you follow karma and don't support it with upasana, you go up to swarga. Swarga mein kya hota hai? Udhar jaake, you enjoy your life fully, and when the day is finished, your punyas are exhausted, they will send you back. Like in a gambling center, you know. Only thing is, they'll send you back with probably in a trip in a Rolls Royce, because you actually mortgaged your Mercedes Benz and played there. So they'll say, okay, no problem, we'll drop you back. Free chauffeur driven car drops you back. So you spend everything in Swarga and come back. You only do karma. And if you do karma and upasana, but did not add jnanam to it, got involved in the world at that Saguna Ishwara level, you go to different mind dimension called Brahmalok. There, if you add jnanam, from there you go to Brahmalok. If not, there also you will return. So this path of non-return is that Brahmalok, upasana. But Krishna wants to tell you that don't get into all this. Follow karma and upasana for chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, and come to nirguna ishwara dhyanam through shravana manana. Then what happens? You exhaust the vasanas here and now and realize the self. Therefore in the end he says, you got to be a yogi. Very interesting. He concludes nicely. He says, knowing these two paths, upata, no yogi is deluded. Therefore, fortuna, be steadfast in yoga at all times. Whatever meritorious fruits assigned to Vedas, sacrifices of austerities, and also to gifts, the yogi rises above all these by having known this and goes to the supreme primeval abode. See, let us conclude today's class with a story that Swamiji gives in the book Vedanta Treatise. A king wanted to meet a true sannyasi. So he caught hold of the minister, prime minister, and said, you got to introduce me within a week to a true sannyasi. If not, you'll be finished. So this fellow said, what is this, sir? This fellow woke up from this day morning and he said, I have to meet a true sannyasi. Where will I go to find a true sannyasi? He tried his best, he could not. So then he said, anyway, if I don't introduce him to a true sannyasi, within a week he'll finish me. So I have to help myself. So he went to the prison. He was in charge of the prison. He went to the prison and caught hold of a convict. He said, listen, I'm going to give you a task. To perform that, as I tell you, end of the task, I'll give you a bag of gold. And you will be released also. You go and settle in your life. You don't have to do any wrong thing to come back to jail again. Are you okay for the deal? He said, yes, sir, I agree. No problem. So, what is the deal? You have to pretend like a true sannyasi. And the king will come with me and he will do anything. He may even prostrate to you, everything. But you should pretend like a true sannyasi. Whatever he offers, you should say no. If you say yes, I will expose you. You will be in trouble. So don't say yes. And afterwards, when the king goes away, I'll give you the bag of gold. You can go and settle down. He said, okay, I understand. You can bring the king anytime. So he was sitting in the particular place under the tree. So the minister came with the king and the queen. The king prostrated, the queen prostrated, seeing that the minister also prostrated, knowing well, this fellow is a fake fellow. And then the king offered a lot of wealth. He said, no, I don't need it. You keep it. Whatever he offered, he said, no, no, no. He said, why don't you come and stay in the palace? He said, no. So the king was very impressed and he said, I'm blessed. I'll take your leave. And he left. After some time, the minister came back with a bag of gold and gave it to the minister, the fake sannyasi. He said, take it away. I don't need it. He said, drama is over. I made a deal with you. As I promised, I'm giving you this bag of gold. You take it and leave. He said, no, no, no. I don't want it. You keep it. I told you that drama is over. You're not understanding. He said, no, sir. I understand. Only you are not understanding. What is that? Even temporarily, when I pretended to be a sannyasi, the king fell at my feet. Everything was offered. If only I can become a sannyasi, what will I not get? Yogi Bhava. Try to memorize this. Tasmat Yogi Bhava. Anything I do, I should be rooted in the self. The reason I do it is to get back to the self. Nothing else matters. When you are a yogi. So yogi rises above the Vedas, the rituals, the tapas, the dhanam. All this it does only for Chitta Shuddhi and Ekagrata. Nothing else. Don't get involved in that. We get involved in it. Oh, Shraddh. And you get involved. And sometimes when you go to their house, when they invite you for lunch or something, and they give you different food. They are eating Shraddh food. They will give you different food. You feel like telling them, I will also eat the Shraddh food. Because there is a lot more variety there. So, the point here is you should not get involved. Whatever you do, you should understand it is to exhaust the vasanas. Go beyond manifestation, unmanifestation, and become one with Brahman. That is the whole summary of chapter 8. So let us conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Tayena Vacha Tayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Prakriti Swabhavat Prakriti Swabhavat Karomi Yajnam Karomi Yajnam Sakalam Parasmahi Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Eti Samarpayami Narayana Eti Samarpayami.